Possession for Thompson. He's got a man wide open to the far circle. Shot scores. There it is. J.J. Paterka. In his hometown and their new home rink gets a goal, and the Sabres are up 5-0, and the smiles say it all.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. J.J. Paterka amongst the players scoring in the nice little exhibition between the Sabres and Red Bull.
Yes.
Red Bull Munich.
Does not give you wings. Not that one.
Not that one, I guess.
No, but Paterka looks great.
Paterka,
the team looks great. But again, the preseason pledge got across the heart.
They've also been facing a majority of AHLers.
Yes.
And non-big club teams.
Right.
They should be looking that good.
We're seeing something good.
But that's fine. Like, they should be dominating these preseason games. Meanwhile, now back in the home front here, Sabres are still winning. Doesn't matter that there's no NHLers on their roster right now in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They're just still winning. So clearly, this means they're going 82-0, right?
Yeah.
Clearly.
I think so.
But why don't we get Brian Koziel's take on this? Get us a little bit more rational here as Brian Koziel now joins us here on the Westsur Hotline. Brian, good morning to you. And of course, I feel like I'm going to get stuck in the trap again of being hyped about the Sabres, but I don't care.
Yes, good morning. I'll be the wet blanket here if you're looking for that. I believe the Devils went undefeated last year in the preseason with Lindy as their coach, and then he eventually halfway through the year got fired. So I don't know if there's any correlation to that. However, there we go. I'll get that out of the way. They only have one really thing they can do, and that is play well and at times look dominant. And they're doing that. So you have to give them at least credit for that. Yes, they're playing teams that on paper don't have a lot of NHL players on their roster, but all they can do is go out and dominate the game. And I really think they are. I mean, even, you know, we're seeing the AHL group do the same. I mean, it's AHL versus AHL in some of these games that are here back in the United States, and they're doing the same. I mean, the other night against Ottawa, I know, you know, they still trailed late in that game, but possession time, everything was in their favor. The shots were 41-16 in favor of the Sabres. So at least, you know, I think what we can take from all of this, regardless of how much value you actually put in the win and the loss, is the fact that maybe Lindy Ruff's mentality for what he wants his organization to be about, I feel like that has been consistent, whether it's been with the NHL group or with the AHL group. We're seeing some trends that we didn't see over the last three or four coaches. And that is, I think, something that is promising, because those are the trends that we always feel like they lack. They are trends that we know doesn't necessarily always translate, or that these translate into the playoffs. And that is playing with pace, that is playing around the net, that is willing to maybe move the puck at a little quicker momentum on the power play. So all these sort of things that the Sabres have been struggling with or being consistent with, and these things that we know maybe can also win in the playoffs, Lindy seems to at least gotten that point home here early. So if that translates to the regular season, then I think you can be having these higher hopes.
Brian, of course, the Sabres have been one of the, I'd even call it a bit of unluckiest organizations. Of course, part of it's earned, but to still be in a league where half the teams make it, and then one of their best stretches, they fall 1 point short. So, and then last year, they're not good, but they're in the race throughout that one, whereas last year's point totals, they would have cleared it. So what is it, though, that this year, Brian, that you're looking for the Sabres to finally be able to succeed in terms of consistency and being able to actually break this playoff drought?
Well, I think firstly, and this probably is an easy one to say, is don't put yourself in a hole in the first month of the season. I mean, when have we seen them bury themselves and we're sitting there Thanksgiving and we're debating, like, is it done already? Like, you can't do that. They have to get off to a good start. I'm not saying they have to be in first place in the Atlantic Division, but they can't be in 13th in the conference. It's something that has been a pattern, regardless of who the coach is here over this playoff drought, and they have to stop that. They did have, you know, that one good start, and then they had that horrible losing streak, and that kind of washed each other out there. But they have to be able to play above 500 hockey points-wise in this first month. And I think the schedule sets up so that they can do so. Yes, they start, obviously, in Europe here, but I think if you're going to have a global series event where you're traveling overseas and playing, doing it to start the season is this time to do it. Your body is fresh. This team now will, this NHL group that played yesterday in Munich will not have played for a week. So in terms of, you know, the fatigue and the travel and the jet lag and all that sort of stuff that may go with an event like this, because you're starting the season with it, I think all that gets thrown out the window. And they return home after playing on a Saturday, and they're not going to play at home again, or they're not going to play a game until the following Thursday. So I think they have plenty of recovery time. So what is a highlight piece of playing in this global series, there's always negatives with go with that. I think that that chip of the travel and the fatigue and all that can go with it, I think that kind of gets thrown out here. So that part, to me, I think can help them get off to a good start. Now, what else do I think is? It's the schedule itself. They play in October at home almost the entire month once they get back home from this trip. They start at home for the entire first week. They've got their opening game, obviously, against a team in the Kings that they just found out that they're losing one of their best players in Drew Doughty. Yes, then they have Florida. But then they have a short road trip that takes them very closely here. Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, that's easy travel. And then you have three more home games. So you only just have those three road games the entire month of October. There's space in between them. So if you want to play Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in a lot of these games, you have the opportunity to do so. So I think the first month sets up really nice for them before they get into November, where you start to get some more games and some more kind of jammed in areas. So long-winded story here. Don't get off to a bad start. They have to be able to get themselves, I think, take advantage of the schedule early. And the vibe what the players have and the energy that they have right now around Lindy Ruff and what he brings. None of them are, when they're asked about Lindy, I find this surprising. You know, all the reporters are Paul Hamilton. They're all asking, you know, what do you think about Lindy? What's he doing? None of them have said they love it, but they all say they need it. And to me, that was kind of basically an alarm set off about the previous regime and regimes, that they know that Lindy's working them hard. They know that he's not going to let them get away with anything, and that, yes, he even may take away ice time. I'm not saying that I'm expecting them to gush over him, but it is weird how they phrase it. They say, yeah, he's working us hard, but we need to be account. Like, they're mature enough to realize that they needed it. And I think that's definitely what was lacking from these last set of coaches before Lindy came in.
Yeah, Brian, absolutely. So you've seen the Sabres star players kind of regress over the last season, right? Who do you think really bounces back this season, if anybody?
Well, I think one thing that they're going to try to do is figure out a way to get Tage Thompson involved differently on the power play. We know that was a major part of him getting almost 50 goals 2 years ago, was that big blast one-timer on the circle. And Lindy knows they've taken that away. So I think they're going to move him around. I don't think you'll see him always sitting at the circle, like with the stick wind up in the air, ready to go. I think they're going to move him around. I think that will help. Thompson's a big guy. He can play in traffic. He can play in front of the net. So I think you'll see him moved around there to the point where maybe we'll see Thompson back in the 40s. There's one player to me that I thought was maybe at the top of the list of being most disappointing in terms of offensive production last year, and that was Dylan Cousins. So getting his swagger back, getting his confidence back. Cousins held himself very accountable last year. He said he knew with the contract that he had to be a guy that produced and that he wasn't. And I know he scored yesterday. His type of game in terms of what Lindy is wanting them to do, I think fits together very nicely. So I think that would be my other guy, that if there's going to be a rebound for the Sabres in the standings, they have to get much, much, much better production out of Dylan Cousins. It may be tough for him to ever even earn that contract that he got coming off of that career-high season 2 years ago, but it has to be way better than what it was last year. He was so inconsistent. Many times, you know, snake-bitten with hitting posts and finding ways to miss nets. I think this is a guy this year that really has to step up his game. And I think if he does, I think then that can be another huge hurdle in their way to getting themselves back into the postseason.
Brian Koziel joining us on the Western Hotline. Sabres, quote-unquote, B-squad playing against Columbus tonight. And it does look like our own Paul Hamilton reporting that Columbus does have a NHL lineup coming in here against Buffalo today. Players like Kent Johnson, Boone Jenner, Sean Corrali, Cole Sillinger, Adam Fantilli. Ivan Provorov, Zach Werenski, they're all in the lineup here tonight. So if the Sabres can pull off a nice little win here on the home front with the likes of Ryan Johnson, Isaac Rosean, Noah Oslin also having himself a really nice highlight reel to close out Ottawa the other night, it'd be a nice win and a confidence boost for guys that are going to be heading down to Rochester for the most part here. Brian, when it comes to the Sabres and it comes to the expectations of this team this year, there's one question you and I had when we were at the Prospects Tournament, and that is, there's a team that needs to go down. There's a team that needs to come crashing down to earth. And the biggest question is, in the Atlantic, who's the most likely that you would suspect to come crashing down? Because we all know it's not going to be Boston. We thought that was going to happen, and no, they're still as strong as ever.
Yeah, I'm the clown on the radio every year that had predicted Boston would come back, so I'll stop doing that.
And it's an educated wish, Brian.
Putting the pie in my face every year. Toronto makes a coaching change, but their roster is pretty much the same in terms of the big names. Florida just won the Cup. I don't see any sort of holes in that team. So those three spots, to me, I honestly don't see anybody else in the Atlantic. I don't see Tampa, Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, any of that group kind of filtrating into that top three. I think it'll be Panthers, Bruins, Leafs in some order. I think that's a very safe bet, unless there's some sort of catastrophic set of injuries to one of these teams. I guess the team that would be next that made the postseason last year, the two wild cards to me, I think, that jump out. Tampa Bay, they lose Stamkos, another year older. We talk every year how they look slower. They still have Vasilevskiy in net, so that can always be a piece of the puzzle that gets them success. And then the Capitals. Somehow last year, remember, despite the fact that they had a minus 37 goal differential, they were able to make the postseason and sneak in. I think that has to be two right there. I always like to count the Islanders out, but they find ugly ways to win. They got hot at the end of last year. But wild card race-wise, I look at the teams that were the two wild cards in the East. It was Tampa. It was Washington. I'm counting on age to come into play here. I'm counting on the fact that Tampa lost one of their big stars in Stamkos off to Nashville, that maybe those can be two spots that open up. I don't have a lot of faith in Pittsburgh being any better for the same reasons that I just argued Tampa and Washington. I don't think Philadelphia on paper is better than Buffalo. I know they finished 3 points better than them in the standings. So could Detroit also be thinking the same, that, hey, we're the one that's going to step in this year? I think so. Ottawa might be thinking that as well with the acquisition of Allmark and thinking, hey, we're going to be in a lot of games this year with a quality goaltender. There's two spots right there. Do the Sabres maybe grab one of those? That would be the two teams for me. It's Tampa, it's Washington, that I think that for a realistic goal that the Sabres can finish ahead of, those would be the two that I feel like they have to be aiming at, and then that could be where you grab your wild card.
Brian, of course, though, when it comes to those teams ahead of Buffalo, obviously Florida's the one I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole, but there are questions amongst the other two at the top there in the Atlantic. With Boston having these negotiation issues with Jeremy Swayman, they may not have him to start the season. And then, of course, Toronto, I don't know what it is with them. It seems like they're still running it back with this core. They're running it back with this group that seems to fail within the postseason, especially in the first round. Those are two teams that are going to have question marks coming in. Those are questions that are likely to be answered later in the season, but they're teams that I am going to keep interest in here when it comes to a possible shift in the regime, so to say, of the Atlantic Division.
Yeah. Toronto, as long as they can play the style that they do during the regular season, I think will still earn enough points to be in that group. I mean, they led the Eastern Conference in goals. They were the only team to score over 300. Their goaltending, we know, always can be in question, but they still have a ton of big names that know how to put the puck in the net. And I think regular season-wise, they can play that style and get to that, 100 points or so that they need to really secure a top three spot in there. Boston, if they don't have Swayman for a while, that could maybe open the door there. The Bruins just seem to draft well. They seem to find guys that fit their third and fourth lines that contribute all the time and contribute offensively. That's the one thing I know that we've talked about quite a bit, that with the Sabres, that you look at these other teams and you say, why can't the Sabres be with those teams? Well, some of it has to do with the third and the fourth line. I feel like the Bruins have been the model of players that come from the third and fourth lines that find their role within the team and just thrive on it and do it well. And for when we look at and dissect what Kevin Adams did with the Sabres roster this offseason, that is one area that I will give him a big check mark for. The revamping of line 3 and 4 for the Sabres, I think this is the best that we've seen since maybe a team that has made the playoffs. I think that they've got, not only do they have depth, but they have guys that are hard to play against. They have guys that are fast. Just watching what McLeod even did yesterday on his one chance to the net, I think you're going to see that burst of speed from him in a lot of opportunities and chances this year. The line that, of course, you know, that fans seem to me to be excited about, and I think, you know, I think arguably so, Lafferty, Malenstein, and Obe Kubel, that group, you know, probably maybe going out to face the top unit of the other team or trying to grind them down a little. Those three guys seem to just be thriving playing together because they all love doing what they do, which is go to the net, make it tough, win battles, all these sort of things. So I think the bottom six with Jason Zucker and his leadership, McLeod I mentioned already, like I think that's a really nice transformation. So then if you go back to the previous question you asked me, like who needs to step up? Well, if the top six can even just get slightly back to their offensive form, I think it can be enough for them to get in. So I want to give Kevin Adams kudos very much so for what he did with that bottom six. I still wish there could have been some sort of trade with the fact that the Sabres have still a ton of draft capital or had a ton of draft capital and have a lot of prospects that they could have added another score to the top six. But the third and fourth line, I look at it and I say, wow, that's as good as it's been in a decade at least.
Brian, goaltending. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had a phenomenal season last year, and you know he was kind of hot and cold leading up to that. So do you think he can replicate and even build on that performance from last year? And then also, just what are your thoughts on Devon Levi? Could they create a pretty dynamic duo?
I think so. I mean, the question is going to be ultimately is, will there be enough games for Devon Levi, to me? And that would be, you know, a good thing because Lukanen's playing so well. You want to keep playing him. Lukanen last year, when there was that stretch in January and February where he was putting up like Vezina-like numbers, he played virtually every single game. Even did had a couple of back-to-backs in there when the Sabres were still in the race. So he shows that he can handle it. If we look at past history of how Lindy Ruff's handled goaltenders, for whatever that's worth, we know he's had Hasek. We know he's had Miller. But even in Dallas, he rode Lehtinen quite a bit. So like you've got, when he has a guy that he believes in, he's not afraid to maybe play him a little bit more than the average coach does in the NHL. So the question is then, is there enough games there for Levi that he can still develop? I think that what we've seen in the preseason would indicate that it's definitely going to be Luukkonen and Levi here, at least for a while to start the season, because Reimer hasn't even played. He hasn't played in any of the games with the NHL group. He hasn't played with any of the, as you said, kind of Group B with the Amerks group. He's not getting in anywhere. So to me, that would say, okay, there's really no thought that he's going to be the backup with the NHL team to start the season. At least, you know, for the first month or two, I got to think it's going to be Luukkonen and Levi. As long as Levi can handle maybe playing once every four and handle that well, and the coaches feel like, yes, he's still developing the way we want him to, then I think it can work. It's been a while since we've gone into a season not having to question goaltending. Maybe you even have to go back to like Robin Lehner, even before we say we really are thinking like there's somebody back there that gives you a chance to win. Luukkonen last year gave them so many opportunities to win. All those 3-2 losses, 2-1 losses, 1-0 losses where Luukkonen was amazing. And, you know, I'm sitting there on postgame saying, how did they lose this game? Well, because they couldn't score. Their money guys that are paid to score couldn't figure out a way to get a goal. Their power play went 0-for-5, that sort of thing. So I think for this year, I just mentioned it, the third and fourth line has been the best it's been in a while. I think goaltending 1 and 2 as a combo, that is also the best it's been in a while.
You mentioned the power play, the accursed thing from last year. In these preseason games and even through the prospects tournament, like that philosophy is there of movement. And hopefully it looks like, Brian, from what you're seeing, how's that shift in philosophy looking on the ice so far?
Yeah, I think it looks good. I mean, yesterday, I know they had a little more ice to work with, but if you watch them move the puck, it's quicker. If you watch where their bodies are, they're more around the net. There's more movement. I think last year, this stuck with me all year. I remember talking with Marty Burana, one of the intermissions, And he said, he goes, look, you know, why, you know, I asked him, I said, you, from a goalie standpoint, you studied power plays. You obviously defended power plays. Why is the Sabre power play struggling? And he said, because it's easy to predict what's happening. He said it was all perimeter passing and little movement. So he said it was easy to cover Tage Thompson's one-timer because everybody was essentially in the same spot. And he said there was very little movement. And he said a lot of times also, too, from a goalie's perspective, there wasn't a ton of traffic. So he's like, you don't have to battle to try to find to see where that puck is. But he said it was all perimeter movement, not a lot of quick passing, a lot of holding of the puck. And he said that's why he thought it was very easy and predictable to defend. So I think you're going to see a little bit difference from that this year. Just hearing when Lindy Ruff met with the media and talking about the power play, he said, look, teams took away the Thompson shot and the Sabres did nothing to adjust for that. And I think we're seeing that with the power play now. We're seeing more bodies in front. I think we're seeing quicker passing. I also think we're seeing a little bit more movement from what would be normally, I guess you'd call the perimeter players. They seem to be willing to move positions and to handle the puck and then move and then pass and then go. Kind of similar more to a basketball idea in the sense that, hey, if you don't have the ball and you're not moving, you're wrong kind of thing. Like once you make that pass, go move somewhere else and create space or create a lane or, you know, like in basketball, you'd say set a pick for somebody, that kind of thing. I think it kind of works that way in hockey too. If you're moving and you're unpredictable, it makes it much more difficult to defend. So I think so far from what we've seen from the power play in these preseason games, I think they're getting that. So again, we always have to remind everybody they're playing against a set of players that they on paper are more talented than, but I think at least the concept is the right one considering what we watched last year and how it struggled.
Brian, well, we've got a couple minutes left here and I'll poke your brain on this. Bills 3-0 heading to Baltimore tomorrow to try to get the 4-0 on the season here. How you liking what's been going on so far with the Bills here through these first 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's really, really impressive what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage have done on defense. I know it's fun to talk about what Allen is doing because it's juicy to talk about, but man, to think about the injuries on defense, to think about the changes that they went in this offseason of losing a lot of veterans and a lot of leaders and how they continue to just stymie these good offenses. I mean, I know Jacksonville's struggling, but they still have a very talented quarterback and a very talented running back in Travis Etienne and some good weapons. I know Evan Ingram wasn't there, but Miami the same way until Tua was hurt. And Arizona, for a half, they made that adjustment at halftime, and man, that worked out really well too against a very talented offensive team in Arizona who I respect, at least on paper, what their talent is with Harrison and McBride and with Connor and with Murray. So that to me has been, even though I know Allen's getting the headlines, the amount of points the Bills are putting up is getting headlines, and as it should, what they're doing on defense with the injuries to me is just tremendous. What gives me hope that this team can continue to even get better is that we're hearing good news that, oh, Terrell Bernard might be coming back maybe very soon. Taron Johnson might be coming back very soon. Who knows, maybe Matt Milano down the road. So the fact that you're seeing these depth guys make plays, the secondary every year, whether it's loss of player, I mean, this year, obviously, the huge loss of the two safeties, and they continue to play well. So kudos to those two guys for getting it done defensively. They've defended Lamar Jackson pretty well in the McDermott era. I think as long as the Bills' offense has a, 7 out of 10 game in terms of their performance, I think they should have enough to win because I trust what they have done on defense this year and what they've done historically against Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So I'm feeling pretty good about this game coming into tomorrow night.
Now, last couple things. Howard says hello, by the way.
Nice.
I'm not going to worry about mentioning other things about Baltimore. When are you heading out to Europe?
So I'm leaving for Prague on Wednesday. Should be there Thursday morning and going to go to the arena and check it out and hopefully get everything set so that we can do our normal hosting duties on Friday and Saturday for the game. Just a reminder to everybody, the opener here in Buffalo will be a 1 p.m. Eastern game. It's a 6-hour difference to Prague, so it'll be a 7 o'clock game there, 1 o'clock here. And then on Saturday, Derek, I know maybe next Saturday your show may be shifted around. It's a 10 a.m. game.
I was going to say, I'm guessing I'm not having the show next week.
Yes, you might be. Maybe you'll be doing a post-game show after a 2-0 start. That would be fun.
I mean, that would be fun. I might just tell Alan I want to just enjoy watching that game. You know, I don't need to come in. we can take the week off. I'll let you guys handle it.
Yeah, so I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. I went to Stockholm for the other Global Series games, and it was a great experience. But that trip was in the middle of this, not in the exact middle, but that was in November.
Mm-hmm.
The team had already played a month of games, and they were playing pretty good as of that moment. They went there. They got swept by Tampa. Tampa banged them around quite a bit, real physical play, and the Sabres really never recovered from that. And I think, again, a piece of that travel and coming back in the middle of the season, I like how it's to start the year. I think the bodies will be fresher. I think all the negative that goes with a travel event like this, I think for the most part, it's going to be nullified because they do have fresh bodies coming in, excitement coming in. Who's not jacked up to play in these games because it's the opening game. And you got a new coach, all those sort of things that go into it. So I think it's if you're going to play in this, it's at the right time. And I'm looking forward to not only being there for the games, but watching yesterday's game and the experience that is at these European events. We all know from, if you're watching Premier League soccer or some of these other events in Europe, a golf guy, like I like to watch the Ryder Cup when it's in Europe. There's all these chanting and singing and all these sort of organized things that are happening. When I was in Stockholm, they kind of did a lot of the same thing. I think we're going to see quite a bit of it here in Prague. So even beyond doing a little sightseeing, which I'm looking forward to as well, I've never been there. I'm literally looking forward to this trip. And the hockey piece of it has me kind of jacked up because this is the most excited I've been about a start of a Sabre season in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Take some time. Try to make Paul pay for a couple of the checks and enjoy yourself out there.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Brian, always appreciate talking to you, and we'll catch up soon.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
That's Brian Koziel on the Western Hotline. He of Tita Green when that comes back in season.
I always enjoy listening to that. I've been getting into golf a lot more.
Actually, do we still have Brian there? Evan, do we still have Brian there? Oh, boy. Let's bring him back in real quick. Brian,
yes.
I would be remiss. There was something that we were supposed to promote, and my smooth brain almost forgot about it. You are, look at that, Media Representative of the Year for the 2024 WNYPGA.
Yes, thank you, guys. Appreciate you bringing that up.
Yes.
Thanks. I want to thank the Western New York PGA On Air for their nomination and ultimately their award of this. As you know, I'm very passionate about golf. Derek, I know you've been involved quite a bit with Tee to Green when you were part of the show. Evan, who's producing today, is currently our main producer for Tee to Green. And I think you know because when you talk to me at 6 in the morning on a Saturday morning and I'm all excited to talk about golf, that you know that I'm passionate about it. And all the things that our team, this is a team award, Kevin Sylvester, Jeff Metis, Jeff Blank, and Evan, and everybody that supports it, Alan Davis. We really try to be the golf voice in Western New York and promote golf and get kids playing and get everybody that wants to ever give it a shot playing and provide opportunities and create all those sort of passionate events and things like that. So while the award is something that I know they give out every year for media coverage. Some of the stuff that we did with our fundraising and some of the other stuff we're really proud of with Tee to Green, so I'm happy to win that award. So I just wanted to thank the Western New York PGA for that. And if you are a listener of Tee to Green in any capacity, or you've come to our Duster Putting Challenge to support it, or any of the other things, thank you very much because it motivates us to keep doing fun stuff for golf here in Western New York.
Matter of fact, I took part in one of those Duster Challenges a couple of years ago. Finished in last, didn't care, had a blast. but yeah, you had me and Kyle Powell out there for that. That was a good time.
Yeah.
So it's always great to be able to see you guys doing what you do. But also, like the minute I said Tee to Green, I'm like, oh my God, that's right. I have something that I need to bring up with Brian. So it's all about that. And like for someone that's a golf novice like me, you guys actually helped me understand the game when I was working it for Tee to Green an hour at a time every week. So always appreciate what you guys are able to do. Love Jeff and Kevin as well. Those guys are bonkers bonanza, funny in the morning as well. And they also know their stuff though. That's the other big thing. So Brian, Thank you. Congratulations. We got an award-winning team here today. Howard and you were here in these chairs, and we got Brian winning an award. Where's my award? Do I get an award? Brian, thank you, though,
it's
again.
Being engraved, Derek. They're just working on it.
I'm scared of what it's
figure
called.
Out what the subtitle says underneath it.
I'm scared of what it's called. All right. Brian,
thanks,
you.
Guys,
congratulations.
Congratulations.
And again, have some fun in Prague. Take the time and see if Paul can cover for you a couple times here.
That's right. He should.
Use the award. Strong arm him.
Yeah. That's right. I know. It's tough. Paul, you got to have a really strong arm to get a Paul's wallet, you know.
Yeah, thanks, that is guys. True. Brian Koziel on the Western Hotline. Tita Green, Sabres pre, during, and post game.
Yes.
He does it for us.
Pre or post?
Pre, in-game, and post. He does it all, and he's one of the best people that I know when it comes to working in this place. So, and he makes working any Sabres game so much easier for you, even when they've been through a 13-year playoff drought.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and make fun of things coming up on the other side here. There's a lot that has happened. The Booty Cheek of the Week has a lot of targets. We're going to find out which ones we aim at coming up next.